Welcome to Innovation. Good afternoon. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take a look at science and research and technology and the economic impact it's having right here in South Dakota. And joining me on the phone right now is Dr. James Rice. He is the executive director of EBSCOR. Jim, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here, Kara. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
So the Wall Street Journal commissioned a study, right, by the Brookings Institution and found some strong economic resiliency correlated with the presence of research institutions. And so that's kind of where this idea kind of grew out of. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like in South Dakota. But before we begin, just kind of give me a brief kind of overview about what EBSCOR is and what it is that you do.
Okay. EBSCOR is an acronym that stands for Experimental Program to Stimulate Competitive Research. We are a research infrastructure, research capacity building program that works with primarily higher education. We don't do too much with K-12, so we're working mostly with the state's public, private, and tribal colleges and universities in partnership with the private sector and state government, particularly the Governor's Office of Economic Development and the Department of Education, to try to put in place the things that the state needs to be competitive in the academic world for grants and contracts that allow universities to expand knowledge and turn that knowledge into practical things that can help meet societal needs, like cures for diseases or new materials that can be used to make, say, cars lighter or clothes last longer, and take those and turn them into things that are going to benefit South Dakota in terms of its economic development and workforce development to help create jobs so that the work that's going on in the state's universities can not only educate our kids, but also provide jobs and opportunities for them to stay in the state once they're done with their education, whatever level that might be.
Now, this has been, you know, an ongoing thing since, what, 2002?
We've actually been in EBSCOR since 1987. So this is a long process, and what we're really looking at trying to do is really grow the portion of the state's economy that's based on ideas. You know, a lot of the things that are happening in the world now are the result of new ideas in technology, new ideas in science, and understanding how things work. And that's a place, an area that we have a lot of catch-up work still to do here in South Dakota. You know, way back when, most people I think are familiar with Sputnik, that satellite that Russia launched back in the, I think it was the 50s, and how that spurred many states to really invest in their colleges and universities, basically trying to, you know, catch up with the fear that we were lagging behind in terms of technology. States like South Dakota and the other EBSCOR states didn't quite invest to the same level that some states did, and so we kind of fell behind. As the world evolved, and we started to move away from or move into things that required new ideas. That's the innovation component that we're always interested in. The nation noticed that there were some states like South Dakota that were falling behind, and so EBSCOR was created at all of the federal agencies that give grants to colleges and universities for research to help us build our capacity back up so we could make greater contributions, you know, specifically to our own states, but also to the national needs for things like information security, cures for diseases, or just creating a better world.
And is it working?
Yes, it is.
This new focus in South Dakota, how is it working?
So the state's ability to get grants, well, I'll use one real extreme example. When we started in EBSCOR, the state got approximately $8 million a year in new grants from agencies like the Department of Agriculture, the National Science Foundation, the National Institutes of Health. Last year, we were right around $100 million in grants that we brought in. So those are grants that go directly to the colleges and universities to support graduate and undergraduate research. They do the supplies and things that are necessary to run those projects. They buy equipment. They help strengthen the libraries. They expand graduate programs. That alone is a significant measure of the growth that we've undertaken. So that's kind of a financial research competitiveness component to what we're talking mm-hmm. about. But a large part of what we're also talking about is intellectual research competitiveness, in the sense that we want to identify areas that we can be leaders in, that we can not only do things that are going to help advance South Dakota's economic and workforce development agenda, but help advance the nation and even the world when it comes to the needs that they have. So one example that I'll give you that I'm really excited of that came out of the last EBSCOR project we had was one that involves creating QR codes. Most people know those as those funny little squares that show up on a lot of things that you can scan with your smartphone and it'll take you to a website. Our group, the group of people that were involved in that project, found a way to make those invisible and to be trackable from a distance so that they could be used to monitor, for example, drug shipments, to make sure that the drug shipments end up where they are, that they're not counterfeited drugs that are being sold. It has applications in counterfeiting of currency. That came directly out of investments in basic science in how light interacts with materials, how it reflects from it or doesn't reflect from it, how it glows in the dark, those kinds of processes. And when that research was published, in the space of about a week, they had a billion, and that's billion with a B, hits to the press release that was given out by the School of Mines is the one that actually released that, because that's where the work was headquartered. That's an example of the kind of impact that the things that are going on in South Dakota can have, not just on South Dakota, but on the world.
And once you have one good idea, then it more likely leads to another?
That's our hope. You know, it, like I said, it's a slow process, but we're starting to see momentum. And our goal is that there'll come a point where we've invested in infrastructure so that there are things that are happening that not only are what we intended, but ideas that are being generated that we never had anticipated. Because that's really what EBSCOR is about. That's this idea of intellectual research competitiveness. It's about ideas that are going to change the world. We invest in people in EBSCOR. We invest in tools. And because our belief is that if we give good people, bright people, motivated people the tools, they're going to find ways to do things with those tools that society needs to have done. And that's really kind of our basic investment philosophy and what we're trying to achieve with EBSCOR.
When you say that $100 million in research grants to the colleges and universities in South Dakota, where does that fit in nationwide? It sounds like an awful lot of money to me, but in the grand scheme of the research world, where does that really fit in?
Well, you know, in terms of...
We still
of
have work to do?
we certainly have work to do, yeah. But we also have to kind of temper that, you know, with the realization that even though South Dakota is a pretty big state in terms of our geography, in terms of our population, we're still a relatively small state.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to be honest, if you put that approximately $100 million and compare it to, say, California, well, you know, I mean, it's a very small number compared to what California does,
mm-hmm.
you know, because California is, you know, would be one of the largest countries in the world if it was a country, because it's got so many people. So it's a big number in the context of South Dakota because we're a relatively low population state. We certainly have some room for growth, but we've also come a long way since we first started this process, you know, about 30 years ago.
And so we're seeing in this report from the Wall Street Journal also that where there is success at universities, then there is also economic growth in that town?
That's correct. And you know, ultimately, our goal is to expand that so that it's a regional economic impact, a statewide economic impact, just not around the universities. And the guiding document that we have is the state science and technology plan. This is a plan that was put together at the request of Governor Dugard by the EBSCO Advisory Committee, which is a statewide committee that consists of mostly private sector members, but it also has people from higher ed and state government on it, that's identified the areas where we think we can have an impact based on the research that's going on in the state's universities. So it has five what we call targeted sectors that we're really trying to invest in basic research and applied research infrastructure in the hope that it's going to go out and help strengthen South Dakota's economy. And they are materials and advanced manufacturing, human health and nutrition, value-added agriculture and agricultural businesses, IT and cybersecurity, and energy and environment. Because those are ones where we have strengths within the university or the universities within the state. And by building on what's already there, we're hoping that we can grow them to the point where they can really, really start to have, again, not just a statewide impact, but a national impact. And as a result of that, you start to see these ideas that basic research generates. If it's meeting a need, whether it's an industrial need, a health need, you know, or an environmental need, those ideas start to turn into products that create jobs. So I'm the EBSCOR office is based out of Brookings, so I'll use this just as one example, but it's certainly not the only one, because you could find it in Sioux Falls, you could find it out in Rapid City area around the School of Mines, you can find it down Vermilion. But research parks are starting to grow up that are affiliated with universities, and these research parks are the home for businesses that are starting to come out of this university-based research. A faculty member has an idea that he or she creates that meets that need that an industry has for, say, a new product, or that the biomedical community might have as a potential new drug. And they create a company, and they start to hire people, and they start to spend money in that community, in that area, to try to develop this idea, this material, or this chemical into a drug, and turn it into a product then that can be commercially sold. And so we're starting to see this happen. Here in Brookings, we have a research park that's growing. There's one down in Sioux Falls. There's one out in Rapid City. And so that's part of the infrastructure that we try to put in place to do this. The EBSCOR Advisory Committee is very interested in these things because they are the steward of the science and technology plan. And their goal is to use the plan to try to do everything that we can, working with private sector, working with the Board of Regents, working with the Governor's Office of Economic Development, to try to coordinate the investments that we are so that we're all moving in the same direction.
And did you... I just lost my train of thought. I apologize. All of the universities are starting, and I think it's part of EBSCOR in building the infrastructure, is that all of the universities and colleges in the state are working together on more projects and are sharing knowledge, and you're seeing more of the chemistry and the ag kind of coming together to create new products as well.
Right. And I think that's a reflection of how multifaceted the things that need to be done are these days. You know, back when I started my research career, you could be a chemist and you could do just chemistry, and there were chemistry needs that needed to be made, and advances that need to be done in order to, you know, make a new plastic, for example. Nowadays, it's not enough just to make the plastic. You have to figure out how to take that plastic and put it and basically turn it into something that can be used, for example, as a coating to make something waterproof. That requires that you have chemical engineers. It requires that you have mechanical engineers to make the machine that's going to put that plastic on top of the surface. You can see the same thing in the biosciences. A lot of the bioscience right now is focused on understanding, and this is actually the focus of our current EPSCoR award, which is $20 million from the National Science Foundation and a pretty significant investment from the state in terms of the applied R&D. Understanding how cells communicate with each other using chemical signals is something that requires physicists because of having to develop very advanced instrumentation. It requires biochemists. It requires plant or biomedical scientists, depending on whether you're looking at plants or humans and animals. It generates huge data sets. So everybody, I think, has heard of big data. Well, I mean, these data sets are sometimes hundreds of gigabytes in size, and they have to be analyzed by computer science techniques, what we call informatics. None of this could happen if you only had one of those disciplines. And so our projects have become inherently interdisciplinary, because that's the only way we can answer the questions that we need to answer in order to have these impacts that we'd like.
All right, Jim Rice, I want to thank you for taking time. I know you have to get to another meeting, and we will continue this conversation throughout the course of the year and highlight a lot of the businesses that you're working with as well. So I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to the opportunity to talking about it further. Thank you, Kara.